Our two scripture stories today were both stories about hospitality. They sound fairly similar. In both stories, the Lord, in Luke, Jesus, in Genesis, the three visitors, the Lord arrives at a person's house, and that person gets busy preparing food for the guests. But there's a famous problem in the story about Martha and Mary. You all know the problem. Martha is hard at work preparing a meal for these visitors, while Mary just decides to sit at Jesus' feet and listen. Martha wastes no time complaining to Jesus. She's the only one working, and she wants Mary to get in trouble. And I take Martha's side in this argument. Before this scripture, it tells us that Jesus was traveling around with his disciples, so I'm assuming they're still with him. So that means that now there are between 12 and 16 people Martha is cooking for, all alone. How's that supposed to happen if only one person is doing all the work? I just have to say, as an aside, that I have always been entertained by the stories of hospitality at mealtime in the Bible. For example, in our Genesis story today, the text nonchalantly says, "Sarah, bake three loaves of bread from scratch, and servant, go kill a fatted calf and prepare it," and then they sat down and ate. It doesn't quite happen that quickly. There's a lot of work in between. There's a lot of work when 13 men or three men show up at your door expecting the hospitality of a meal. How are we supposed to do all that's required of us? All of the mundane tasks of cooking and cleaning and studying and working and shopping and on and on, and sit at Jesus' feet to hear what Jesus is calling us to do. This story seems to tell us, leave the dishes in the sink, leave the lawn unmowed, leave the house dirty, spend your time in contemplation. And this is troubling because these mundane tasks are important. These mundane tasks done for others are where some people find their calling to serve. Is Jesus really telling Martha to stop being Martha and start being like Mary? I hope not. Sometimes people say this story is about our spiritual life, that we are supposed to be like Martha and like Mary. We work, we fulfill our calling, whatever it is, and we also participate in the contemplative life to hear God's call for us. And this is certainly true. But I believe there's more to the story, because Jesus doesn't chastise her for working, for being who she is and doing what she thinks is important. He chastises her for being distracted and worried about her work. The very beginning of the story tells us two things about Martha. She welcomed Jesus, and she was distracted by her many tasks. And there's the problem, the distraction. Not the tasks, not the feeling of joy she might get from doing these things for others, not the desire to be doing these things. The problem is that it's her distraction. Did you notice that Abraham was not distracted when he was offering hospitality? As soon as they walked up, he said, "You look tired. Have a seat. Wash your feet. Let me get you some water. How about some bread? Let's prepare a meal. I'm glad you came." He also delegated the work. Let other people help him with that. Martha, on the other hand, allowed her work to distract her from the guest in her home. Like all of us, Jesus wants his host to pay attention to him. This is beautiful to me because if we slow down and pay attention to this story, it affirms that Jesus wants to be in relationship. He didn't go to Martha's house because of her food. He went to her house to be with her and Mary. In this world of busyness, aren't we all hoping that someone will take the time to pay attention to us, to celebrate our joys and grieve our sorrows, to really hear our story, to make us feel known and seen? I believe that Jesus is telling us in this story that we can be these people in the world when we're both working our work, our call, and answering that call. I thought about the several times a year when our APC volunteers get the rooms and the meals ready for Family Promise. There's a lot of work that goes into this. A lot of physical labor, a lot of cooking, a lot of scheduling, a lot of mundane tasks. But there's also a lot of sitting down to dinner with the families who are here, asking their names, asking the children what grade they're in. There's a lot of paying attention to these guests in our home here. It can be a challenge to do everything we need to do and pay attention to the people around us. But Scripture is full of stories about people paying attention to what God puts in front of them. Remember Moses and the burning bush that's on the window there? Like Martha, he was working that day. He was tending his father-in-law's flock. That was his job. And the Lord appeared in a burning bush. Just imagine what our whole history would be, what our scriptures would be, if Moses had been so distracted by his work that he just walked right past that burning bush, didn't even notice because he was so distracted. Luckily, he wasn't. He stopped. He turned aside, looked at that bush, and the rest is history. He heard God's call for his life. A couple of months ago, there was a story on CBS News. It was about a man named Curtis Jenkins, who I think embodies this ability to do his work, do the mundane chores, do the wonderful chores, and pay attention to the people he's there with. He's a bus driver at Lake Highlands Elementary in Dallas, Texas. He knows every single child on the bus by name. He knows which hobbies each child enjoys. He knows what grade they're in. He knows who their teachers are. He knows where their classrooms are. He obviously knows where they live. He knows who their parents are. He assigns everybody on the bus a job title. There's the athletic director. There's the assistant to the principal. There's the coach. Everybody has a job because he says they are a community. And they all have to work together every day to make the community work. Several times a year, he gives gifts to the kids. I'm sorry to say that if it were me, that would probably be a little bag with a pencil and an eraser for each kid. But not with Curtis Jenkins. If the kid likes baseball, he gets a baseball bat. If Curtis knows that the kid plays piano, he gives the child piano music. He gives every child a gift specific to what that child loves. I think this is what Jesus was hoping for from Martha. He wanted her to be more like Curtis Jenkins. He wanted her to be doing her work and loving her work and not ignoring the people that were right in front of her. Jesus wants Martha and you and me to see the people who are in front of us, to enjoy the people God puts in front of us, to ask them questions, see the image of God in their faces, and love them. It's much easier to keep our heads down, not get involved in the messiness of loving other people. But as we say every week, that is our calling here, to love one another. And so knowing this as our call isn't just about paying attention to one another. It is about specifically paying attention to Jesus in Scripture, in this community, in all the ways God makes God's self present and the ways that God calls us to work, so we can each hear our call and answer that call. There's a Quaker mystic named Thomas Kelly, and he says, a person's call is the particular part of God's heart of the world that is my responsibility, my share in the joyous burdens of love. Busyness for the sake of getting the job done will never lead us to share in the joyous burdens of love. We can only figure out what each one of our shares in this burden of love are by listening to God in Scripture, in prayer, in discernment, in our community. As I said to the kids earlier, God is community. And take out your bulletin. We're going to look at this artwork that I was looking at with the kids earlier. This is a famous icon painted by Rublev in the 1400s. And it's his depiction of the scripture that we read in Genesis when the three angels, the men, the visitors, the Lord, came to visit Abraham and Sarah. As Christians, of course, we interpret this scripture as being the Trinity who came to visit them in their tent at the Oaks of Mamre. There's a lot of symbolism in this icon. The three are lined up in doxological order from left to right. Father on the left, Son in the middle, Holy Spirit on the right. They're all wearing blue, the color of divinity. They're all holding rods, which shows they are of equal importance. You can't see very well on this copy, but their faces are identical, showing that they are one Lord. They're sitting at a table with a cup. Jesus' hand is by the table, signifying that he will drink the cup. And the Spirit's hand is on the table, signifying the Spirit will be with Jesus throughout everything. Their heads are inclined toward one another, showing their love and communion and deference to one another. And as you look at it, you notice that maybe each one of us is the fourth person at this table. This is not a closed community of three. We are all invited into this loving community of the Trinity. This community is what Jesus wanted for Martha, that he knew Martha was missing out on by not paying attention. This is what we are invited to be a part of. So pay attention the next time you have the chance to see the image of God when you welcome a stranger. Pay attention the next time Jesus is in your house as a guest. Don't be so busy and distracted by the seriousness of your work. But maybe take time and say, I want to sit at the table with you. I love being in your company, and I'm eager to hear what you have to say to me. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.